Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Last Monday, I reposted a piece that a friend of mine put on Facebook, and it was a meme that read like this. My wife said to me, "You weren't even listening just now, were you?" The husband thought, "Man, that's a weird way to start a conversation." Sarcastically, I said, "Well, that never happens to me." Of course, none of us are exempt from that question. Husband, wife, sister, brother, parent, child, it doesn't matter. We have all at times found ourselves somewhere else mentally when someone else might be trying to tell us something. I think we do that with the Lord at times as well. He has so much to reveal to us. So much to give us, but we can be distracted. We indeed get caught not listening to what God has to say to us at times. So today I want to do something in my message. I want to encourage you, actually. Encourage you in the fact that God does speak to us, and encourage all of us to listen. Because what we heard in these lessons today are powerful words and events that are meant, I believe, to do just that, encourage us. And I want to present them to you in chronological order, just so that it makes a little bit more sense. First, we have our Psalm 68 that is from David. This psalm is indeed a song and is written to the choir master. Listen up, Carl. And it's full of encouragement. The first thing out of David's mouth, so to speak, is a song that my enemies would be scattered. David knew who God was. He knew the protection that he had in the Father. He knew, and if he stayed true to the word, true to the promises, and if he listened to him, his enemies will be scattered. Now, enemies come in many forms. There were physical enemies that David certainly had a problem with at times, but there is a spiritual enemy as well, and we know it best as sin. Anything that would try to take us away from our relationship with God, anything that would try to distort the truth of God, is an enemy of God. And then David said this, "The righteous shall be glad." And not just that, but jubilant and with joy. Now, if I were to ask you, are you righteous? What would be your answer? You see, I know a lot of people would say no, because they don't want to sound like they're pumping themselves up as someone better than someone else. But let me encourage you. If you have accepted Christ into your life, if you believe in him and accept him as Lord and Savior, that makes you a righteous person. You are made right with God. That's what righteousness means, being made right with God. It literally means to bring you out from where you were and into where God wants you to be. We really need to grasp on to the idea that of just how much God really does love us. David, king of Israel, with all of his own faults and failures at times that he had, knows his God. He acknowledges every attribute that he can about the awesomeness of God and who he is. In this psalm alone, David speaks of how he leads, how he protects, how he provides for us. And David closed out this psalm with these words, "He is the one who gives power and strength to his people." What a blessing that through the ages of time, God continues to pour out his love on people who call on him. And all of that comes at a pivotal moment that we see in our gospel reading today. It is at the end of Jesus' time on earth, and he goes to pray. And it is what is known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. Jesus prayed, "Father, the hour has come. glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. The whole culmination of Scripture is so that Jesus, God incarnate, could come to us in the flesh. With all the authority of the Godhead, he humbled himself to come to us, to die for us, to take our sins upon himself on that cross, to offer us eternal life. What a loving God we serve. Who else could love us with such magnitude? Again, as I'm trekking through reading the Bible at a pretty good pace, as I told you last week, I'm trying to do this in 90 days. I told the folks in Wednesday night healing service, there are times I wish I could just reach into the scriptures as I'm reading and say, what are you doing? Don't you see God in this? You see, we have the wonderful privilege to look at all of this in hindsight through the pages of history. But more than that, we are looking at it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit as well. That's what it means when it says the Scripture comes alive when Christ is in us. And it teaches us that God is true to his word, and we can trust him. We can also see the end of the story. We know who wins over sin. We know our destiny as revealed in Christ. So Jesus, in the first part of his priestly prayer, is saying to the Father, I came, I taught, I revealed. Now, Father, make it so. Make it happen. How great is our God who would do such a thing for us? Are we listening? And then Jesus began his second part of his prayer as he prayed for his disciples. These guys that Jesus literally plucked out of the world, Jesus said, I'm not praying for the world right now. I'm praying for the ones I have taken out of the world. They're going to be staying here for a while. They're going to need help. They're going to need strength. Father, I'm not going to be here much longer, but they are. And this is what Jesus prayed for them. Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. In other words, allow them to be so knit together by the same bond that we have, that they will be so focused as a body that they will be one as the Godhead is one. You see, here's the thing. Yes, it all comes down to the cross. It all comes down to this ultimate sacrifice that Jesus did. But it doesn't stop there. There has to be more. There has to be a revealing of the truth to the world. Just like when I said I wanted to reach out into those in history, there is going to have to be a reaching out to those in the future. And it starts with these guys that Jesus picked out of the world and now have to go back into the world to tell the world. The disciples are going to have to listen because the world isn't so nice all the time. And we saw that in so many ways this past week. People killed for their faith. People slaughtered for no reason. We face so many issues around us. But look what Peter said as we move on through these lessons. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you. Now that sounds encouraging, doesn't it? But we need to understand, as I alluded to last week as well, that there are times that we will be criticized for who we are in Christ. David wasn't immune to it. Jesus certainly wasn't immune to it. The disciples were not immune to it. Neither are we. But look how Peter responds to it. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Many around the world are martyred and persecuted for their faith because they refuse to turn away from the truth that they know in Christ. They know just how important this relationship is. And they continue to be a witness for those who they know have not experienced Christ yet. The disciples face the same ridicule, thrown in prison, most martyred. But one thing never was taken away from them: eternity with the Lord. But while on this earthly journey, they continued to be a witness. I don't think we in this country can fully even grasp the magnitude of that. We are so blessed, and I think many squander that blessing and freedom that we have to be a witness. Amongst all of our faults and failures, trials and tribulations as a nation, we have an opportunity to share and be a witness like others around the world cannot do. We saw in our Alpha class, the last class that we had this past week, the other day, that one of the fastest growing churches in the world, believe it or not, is in China. But it's all underground. And it's growing rapidly. Even though many try to squelch our own freedoms in this country, we are still blessed to openly share our faith and speak about outwardly about our faith where others in other places of the world cannot. That's why it's so important that we continue to pray how we can be used in the world around us. God has revealed himself through the prophets in the ages. He revealed himself coming to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He revealed himself through the apostles and their teachings. And he continues to reveal himself through us. We are his witnesses to the world around us. Listen to what Proverbs 14:25 tells us. A truthful witness saves lives. Did you hear that? God is saying your witness saves lives. That means when people see Christ shining through you, something happens. The truth of the Holy Spirit that exudes through us will affect others. Think about that. God's whole purpose in working through the human race is to bring the human race back to himself. The human race inherently wants that, but lost that through sin. So when the world sees the truth shining through his people, something connects or wants to connect. Again, it doesn't mean everyone is responding positively, but they do see it. It also means we should be doing something. That means standing up for who we are in the Lord. That means allowing his Spirit to work through us, and it lives in others, and it's shown to others. Over these past couple of weeks and next, we'll see college and high school seniors receive their diplomas as they graduate. We've seen that in the news, and we'll see more of it. So many years of hard work comes to fruition as proud parents and friends look on who have stood by them and encouraged them as they should. And we celebrate that. We celebrated Emily last week, who graduated from high school. Well, guess what? Jesus wants us to graduate in him. Going back to our gospel reading, in the prayer that Jesus prayed, he went on. It wasn't in our reading today, but let me ask you a question. Do you believe that you are in the Bible? Listen to this. As Jesus continued praying, I do not ask for these only, meaning just the disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus, in this prayer, is holding us up. By his Spirit, he is standing by you and encouraging you. By his Spirit, he is walking with you. And I'll close with a passage from our Acts reading. I know I said this is in chronological order, but we're still in the book of Acts, whether you believe it or not. It continues. The church continues. Jesus was about to ascend to heaven, and he said this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If there is any encouragement that we can receive, if there is any promise that we need to grab hold of this. Jesus did not leave us on our own. He is with us. Listen to what he has to say. Experience all that he has for you. You see, God started a conversation with the human race eons ago. And that conversation was interrupted by sin and man's choice not to listen. "Were you talking to me, Lord?" God is reopening the conversation. And I want to encourage you to listen. Listen to how much he loves you. Listen to the direction that he wants to give us. God is doing something wonderful among us. He is doing a marvelous work in his church all over this world. I mean, things are happening in other places that would boggle the mind in how the Holy Spirit is working in and through people. Let him do a wonderful work in you as well. Allow his Spirit to shine through you and to be seen by others. Because folks, they're hungry. People are hungry for truth in their life. Allow that truth to come through you. May we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your life-giving Spirit, that you have so much to do, Lord God, that you're calling so many people to yourself. Don't let us close our ears. Help us to listen. Help us, Lord, to move by your Spirit where you want us to move, to do what you want us to do, to say what you want us to say. And we know by your Spirit you will give us that encouragement, Lord God, as you have done throughout the ages, as you have encouraged your prophets, as you encouraged your disciples, and you encouraged the church since you left us with your Spirit. So, Father, we ask that you would help us to listen. Help us to hear. And we give it all to you, Father, and we thank you. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, your church is listening. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.